I would like to welcome you most kindly to Suha Dolna, near Sprotava. The gate in front of us is the entrance to the former palace complex, which includes a magnificent aristocratic residence, a large park, and farm buildings. Although the whole complex is worn away with age, it has retained some of its former glory. Let's explore it together. Suha Dolna is a small village. Over the centuries, it was known under its German name, Naida Zauka. The village definitely dates back to the Middle Ages and was originally inhabited by Polish people. The estate was owned by members of the noble knight families from Germany. It follows from the sources that in the 17th century, Suha Dolna was owned by the von Kittlitz family. However, in 1681, a new owner appeared, Christian Heinrich von Eckartsberg. He came from the nearby region of Saxony. He was a cavalry captain in the army of the Habsburg Emperor. Back then, the whole Silesia was under Habsburg rule. Immediately after Eckartsberg took over, he started to build a magnificent family residence. The tall palace was designed in the Baroque style, which was the fashion at the time. The building survived in its original shape for more than 100 years. At the turn of the 18th and 19th century, when Silesia was already part of Prussia, another heir of Suha Dolna from the Eckartsberg family modernized the palace and refurbished it in the classicist style, with numerous references to ancient Greece and Rome. Later on, the palace was expanded. A polygonal tower was added, but the architectural design remained largely unchanged. In the late 19th century, the estate of Suha Dolna was inherited by the Kitzing family, who were its last German owners. The end of World War II saw a change in state borders. This is when all the estates were nationalized. The palace complex belonged to various Polish institutions for the next few decades. It was only recently that it found a new private owner. In order to see what the palace looked like in its heyday, for example at the turn of the 19th and 20th century, we need to trace some old photos, or use our imagination. To enter the estate, you had to walk through the massive gate building, which is right in front of us. Behind it, there was a large square courtyard surrounded by farm buildings and living quarters. On the right, i.e. along the east side of the courtyard, you can see the palace. The palace is a tall rectangular building. In the late 19th century, an addition was made on the right, a small polygonal turret. The main entrance to the residence is in the middle of the wall. In front of it, there is a portico supported by pillars. As a result of numerous modifications, as described before, the interior design was a combination of two styles, Baroque and Classicist. If you approach the facade, you will see abundant Classicist ornaments, bas-reliefs featuring antique profiles, and putti, naked, chubby children. Some of the rooms have retained their original Baroque design from the late 17th century. Especially the hall, with its arched vault, and the rooms on the ground floor. Sculpted ornaments on the walls, vaults, and ceilings were particularly impressive. Among the dominant motifs, we could mention shells, leaves, or fruit. In the hall, there was a plaque commemorating the founder of the palace. The plaque is now exhibited in the local museum. The walls upstairs were decorated with colorful classicist motifs. Behind the residence, there was a sprawling park. It was probably arranged in the 18th century, but it acquired its ultimate and distinctive form in the late 19th century. The inhabitants of the palace and their guests could relax in the shaded alleys leading to the picturesque gazebo, to the pond, hidden among the trees, and to the sunny meadow. This is where we say goodbye. Thank you very much for your attention. You're kindly invited to visit us again.